Welcome to episode 2 of CasinosUSA.bet, the website and podcast that are the friend of the recreational gambler, no matter in what casino you play. We are Casinos USA. In our last episode, we discussed the importance of establishing a loss limit when you gamble. So talking about losses, consider this story from the Columbus Dispatch, which is the newspaper of Columbus, Ohio. The newspaper did an analysis of illegal gambling in the state of Ohio and considered scratch-off lottery tickets, making bets in casinos, and considering all that in 4 years, they conclude that $10 billion has been lost by the people who played in Ohio. Wow. The Columbus Dispatch reports that almost $63 billion was bet, while about $53 billion was won, and that from the years 2012 to 2015. Oh my goodness. But before there's any tears, remember that losses like that within the states that have legalized gambling, they help towns, their cities, and schools throughout that state. Columbus newspaper reported that just over $1 billion from casinos in Ohio went to public education this year. So what's so bad about that? Still, people challenge the wisdom of legalized gambling, stating that 4 to 5% of all gamblers are problem gamblers. Let me challenge their stance. I agree that 4% of people who gamble have issues with it, but they would have had the same issues if they were playing fire hall and church bingo 4 nights a week. These people just do not know when to stop. One of the negatives that arises when a discussion of casinos and their influence is taking place falls under a category of negative social impact, and this impact can hurt a community. But the reality is that negative social issues were already present long before the spread of legalized gambling outside of Las Vegas. A percentage of the American population drinks too much or gets involved with illegal drugs, and the fact that elements of organized crime provided illegal gambling to these people, whether they wanted it or not, whether they could afford it or not, all these issues existed before so many states in the United States legalized casino gambling. Casinos bring decent jobs and tax revenues to local communities and to the state where the casinos are as well. For example, the state of Indiana, where we've just played, acknowledges that 17,000 jobs have been created by the legalization of riverboat gambling, and that happened way back in 1993. Indiana law now approves of 10 riverboat casinos, one land-based casino, which is at a place called French Lick. There's also two racinos, horse tracks, that have slot machines in the state. The Indiana gaming laws have changed so that the boats no longer leave their moorings, and most of the riverboats are connected by covered walkways to a large hotel, which includes restaurants, nightclubs, and general entertainment areas, if not a complete theater venue. Consider the aging entertainment community across the United States. They've been rejuvenated by the rise of casino resorts across the country. Now there are so many venues for them to play, and so many opportunities for the fans of the past to see these performers once again. Also, new talent is welcome and on display in many of the casino's smaller lounges. I hope that you get into the entertainment outside of gambling that casinos provide. It's a very positive thing. Truthfully, from the inside of these 10 floating facilities in Indiana, it's so difficult to remember that one is inside of a boat that's become a casino. The Indiana towns that are fortunate to have a riverboat casino in their tax base show general improvements to their streets, their sidewalks, and, of course, municipal budgets. Should we stop every legal adult activity because a small percentage cannot handle this freedom, in our case, to gamble legally? I think not. Let's support the 96% or so, the recreational gamblers, who have no problems with the gaming hobby. Now I'd like to consider a few of the emails that we received since our last podcast. Our first email is from Marion from Vivi, Indiana. She put it on our website, casinosusa.bet. Writing to me, Coach Fab, she asked about the distinction of every day is Saturday on our website, where every day is written as two words, not one word. She said she thought that the correct form is every day written as one word. Well, Marion, I know you must be a grammar policeman, but you'd be wrong. The one word every day is an adjective. For example, if I say this is an everyday restaurant, it means ordinary, routine. when we use every day as two words, we're using day as a noun. Hey, I learned something at Notre Dame, but thanks for trying to keep us straight. Every day is Saturday is one word. Every is one word, and day is one word. Also received three emails about the Casinos USA team. So with their permission, it's Jane, Jill, Jimmy, Jeff, T, Nick, Scott, Christopher. They don't make every trip, but they make many of them. For example, Jeff T and Jill were at Nemacolin Woodlands Resort, Lady Luck Casino in August for 3 days and nights. Nick is always ready to go to Nemacolin, and sometimes Scott and Chris join in. For whatever reason, it was decided that I would do the podcast, but the gambling is spread all over the team. We also have Jerry and Elaine, a married couple who occasionally makes the Vegas trips and sometimes travels with us into Maryland for a stay at Rocky Gap Casino. That's a casino we'll be visiting on site, on our website, and on our podcast in a few weeks. Our youngest team member is Connor. He's our webmaster, and he's hard at work with his responsibilities with a number of internet obligations, and not just Casinos USA. Chris, Nick, Jane, and Scott played at the Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City, Indiana, when we just returned. I have to ask you, considering the team play, how do you feel about going to a casino with a group? Would you rather gamble alone, or maybe just with your spouse or significant other? Or do you enjoy rolling into a casino with a considerable number of friends? So please let us know by email on our website, casinosusa.bet. I think that could be an interesting topic. Another question that the team is discussing is, what do most people want to wear when they go to a casino on a weekend evening? Let's say on a Saturday night and you're out at your local casino. Well, Jane, the member of the Casino USA bet team, wants to dress up for this occasion. On the other hand, Nick has a tough time giving up his cargo shorts and t-shirts. And since I play craps most often in casinos, I just get cranked when guys, millennials in their 20s or early 30s, or boomers for that matter in their 50s and 60s, wear muscle shirts to the table on a Saturday night. A little bit of a hygiene issue, of course. And another thing, 50-year-old boomers that wear muscle shirts, it's a sad look and bad karma for me. So I change tables or change games. For me, a golf-style polo shirt is fine. In the summer, I'll stick to the golf-style shorts, but in the colder months, I'm more into dress pants and a sweater. Hey, let us know what your thoughts are on this topic. What do you do in terms of dressing up when you go to a casino on a Saturday night or a Friday night? With pressure from my wife, I will wear a jacket, you know, a blazer. You know, it's the old story. A happy wife means a happy life. The expression, you are who you hang with, is one to remember. So the next time that you casino hop in Las Vegas, check out the styles of evening dress. Strip casinos are generally more upscale than the local ones or the ones on Fremont Street. But as a rule, most women outdress the guys doesn't matter where one is gambling. People who are well-dressed generally get more courteous attention from the casino staff. Well, you know, honestly, it might be that they're thinking, hey, these well-dressed players have more money to tip. Just a thought. If the crowd you are with looks sharp, I bet you'll get better treatment that you'll remember. You are who you hang with. And now we'll take a very short break and talk a little bit about craps. If you're willing to bet 100 times odds, that's 100 times whatever you have on the pass line, you should be playing craps with the high rollers, and you should be comped to stay in the best suite in the hotel. Goodness gracious, are you going to put $500 or $600 behind the line in craps? Come on. You'd need, you know, to play craps for an hour and a half, you'd need a bankroll of $10,000 or $15,000 to have a shot. Let's think about this. Most players, 5 times odds, 10 times odds, $5 on the pass line, $50 behind it. That's a nice bet. And that's a big bet for recreational gamblers. You know, I hear stories about guys that say, hey, well, we team up. We go together. You know, we'll each put in $200. We'll put $600 in odds and, you know, odds bet. We'll talk about odds bet, what that means, you know, as far as advantage play. But listen, what good is that? Because you're going to get paid for $200 of that $600, and you're not getting comped. The person that has the card that's at the table, you know, actually playing craps, they're getting comped. You're not. You're just going to get if you win. That's a big if. Come on. See, the odds bet, the casino edge disappears. Like, you and a casino have equal opportunity in terms of what they're paying you. First of all, 7 is the most likely number to roll. That's just how dice works. So in 6 and 8, there's a lot of ways to make 6 and 8s. It's a good bet. But it doesn't mean you're going to win. So you're putting $500 or $600 at risk on one roll of the dice, and then the next roll of the dice, and then the next roll of the dice. Talk about stress. And really, truthfully, that's not recreational gambling. That's big time craps play. And you know, if you're up $8,000, and I've been up $8,000 at a craps table, but I still didn't kick my odds bets up to $500 or $600 because I wanted to walk away with some money. So just think about that. But if you want to play just behind the line, there's a way to do it. I've seen this most places in the Midwest. There's someone that plays this way, and it makes great sense. So whatever the table minimum is, when the roll starts, the come-out roll starts, say it's a $10 table, you put $10 on the pass line, and then you put $10 on the down pass. Yeah, that's right. $10 on the pass line and $10 on the down pass. And if a 7's rolled, you lose the down pass. If a 2 or 3 is rolled, you lose the pass line. If a 12 is rolled, you're going to lose the pass line. But you'd lose the pass line anyway. So you do have some protection. But the point is, the only bet that matters, say the number is an 8. The only bet that matters for you is the odds bet. That's right. You didn't risk any money on the come out roll because you were covered on the don'ts, except for the 12. You were covered on the pass line because of the don't bet on the 2 and 3. So listen, the only bet that counts is the best bet in a casino, the odds bet behind the pass line. Think about it. It's a way to play conservatively and smart. And it's not that uncommon. So consider it. So one more time. If you're on the don't pass and the pass, and a 7 comes up, you win the pass line, but you lose the don'ts. If a 2 or 3 comes up, you lose the pass line, but you win the don'ts. Hey, if you're really that worried about the 12, throw a buck down on the 12. But nonetheless, the pass line, the come-out roll is irrelevant. The only bet that counts for you is the bet behind the pass line, your odds bet. And it's the best bet in Las Vegas because the casino has no edge on that bet. It doesn't mean you're going to win it because a 7 is the most likely number to roll on any roll of the dice. So you could have a point number, but you might get 7'd out. The devil, you know, shows up. But it's still a good bet, and it makes sense. Think about it. Again, no guarantee, but it's a conservative way to play craps for a long time and possibly go home a winner. The second craps item I have for your consideration, and I hear this, you know, a group of guys, they go to, I know the Cosmo is $15 minimum, so I've played there many times. I won $1,300 there last Christmas. Yay! But, so the guy said, I won't play. It's a $15 table. Or it could be something like this. You know, you're playing at another casino, and it was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was a $5 table, and then suddenly, you guys have a late lunch, and then you come back to the table, and the table is now $10 table. So someone says, I'm not going to play at a $10 table. Well, if you don't like the minimum amount, go to the don'ts. You know what? If you were playing on the pass line, I bet you'd either play some combats or play some numbers on a $5 table, and you might have $20, $25 or more involved on the table while someone's rolling. So if it's a $15 table and you want to stay and you're having a good time, just start betting the don'ts. Just bet $15. Don't even put odds. Just bet the $15. And, you know, if the table was choppy or the table was really cold, you're going to break even if it's choppy, and you're going to win some money if it's cold. So that's something to consider. Don't run from the table just because they up it. Play the don'ts. And if you get knocked off the don'ts because the table gets hot, then switch over. The tables, you got a roller going there, man. So just jump on that. You know, no matter what I'm doing, if I'm playing pass line or don'ts, and I play don'ts a lot, I'm going to jump on a streak. Never fight a streak. I'll repeat that. Never fight a streak. You want to join the parade when there's somebody rolling. And I'm talking about somebody that's made 3 points. You know what? Switch over and go with it. In our last segment, I'd like to talk about our trip that we just took to the Blue Chip Casino in Michigan City, Indiana. The Blue Chip Hotel and Casino is across the street from Lake Michigan, with an easy access to an Indiana state park that has an impressive swimming beach. This hotel casino is very tall, believe me. We're going to put some pictures on casinosusa.bet. Check it out. It towers over everything else in this interesting little beach town, Michigan City. It has a beautiful marina, and beachfront nightclubs are nearby, so if you want an outside alternative to the 3 nightclubs inside the Blue Chip, you have it. Michigan City is about 60 minutes or so from Chicago, and this hotel books the majority of its bands from American Second City, and the young talent that the Blue Chip brings in is amazing. You know, so members of the Casino US team sometimes spend more time watching these groups than gambling, you know, but to each their own. This hotel was also the choice of visiting teams that are coming into the Midwest to play the University of Notre Dame in football. And it's a good choice for their fans as well. And there's entertainment and food options that the Blue Chip offers. They're pretty nice. Many of these folks have told us that the Blue Chip's breakfast buffet is amazing. It's fun to see these young athletes and staffs scoop up food the day of the game. It's an enjoyable experience for all. They take a lot of kidding from the hundreds of Notre Dame fans, mostly from Chicago, who are also staying at the Blue Chip. The drive time to Notre Dame Stadium from the front door of the hotel is just under 45 minutes, and you're traveling most of that way on the Indiana Toll Road at 70 miles an hour. And for those who enjoy swimming in a pool more than Lake Michigan, maybe as you get into the winter months, that makes a lot of sense. The Blue Chip has an indoor swimming pool with a beautiful view of the huge casino, which is a large riverboat. Actually, it's a huge barge because it doesn't move. Anyone in the inside of the Blue Chip, and I think I have a picture on the site of an inside shot, would be hard-pressed to realize that you're on a moored boat. It's a big boat. It's a very big boat with high ceilings. And the air circulation system there eradicates the tired, smoky feel of many riverboats. Not the Blue Chip. It is a fresh and energetic vibe. The Blue Chip Hotel and Resort has 374 rooms, and there's 2 towers. There's a magnificent spa tower with glass windows, floor to ceiling, that, you know, one side looks out on Lake Michigan. And then there's the old Blue Chip Tower. But those rooms that have been renovated, and they're so nice. So you can save a little money by staying at the Blue Chip Tower rather than the spa tower, but that's up to you. For those of you that love to play craps, it was Friday night. They had 2 tables operating, and then as the crowd got bigger, they opened up the 3rd table. They do have 4 craps tables that they can open. So they'll match the crowd. So it's not like you're going to be standing behind people at a craps table waiting to play. They do a good job with that. And even though it's a Saturday night and it's crowded, they'll have $5 minimums. They'll also have a $25 table as well. But they'll have $5 minimums on the other tables. So, you know, hats off to them. If you're a craps player and you bet the field occasionally, or the Iron Cross, the 5-6-8 field, 12 at Blue Chip pays 3 times. So if you have $5 on the field and a 12 is rolled, then you collect $15. Very nice. So until next time, goodbye and enjoy yourself. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That's the Casinos USA way.
Hey, every day is Saturday.